It's Friday, February 24th. Today is quite a day. I got my first old age pension check, Canada pension check today. That must tell me something, but I'm not sure what it tells me. Anyway, today is the day that I'm going to interview Victor Dunning on the oral history of Cumberland Township. How many daughters do you have? How many daughters do you have?
Two.
Yeah?
I have Jean, Mrs. Peter Harkness, you know?
I thought she was your daughter.
Yeah, she got married the second time.
Yes.
And
yes.
So did he.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, so I guess you know the history pretty well.
A little bit, yes.
I'm a little hard of hearing. I'm not hard of hearing, can't think of your first name.
Pat.
Pat, but I can't pick words out. I can hear fine, but it seems I can't grab the conversation. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
I heard an article on the television one time explaining that, people that were mad at me, and they had my case 100%.
If you see me speak, do you understand better? If you watch what I say, do you understand better?
Well, I don't know. I couldn't say.
Yeah, it's funny.
How have you been?
Pretty good.
You know, the time that we were up at the Mrs. Fogart and I, the old people, we were invited up, of course, to the party up there. They had the opening of the school. And there was a little girl, and they were right, I thought, there. And I thought she was your daughter.
No.
She wasn't your daughter. No. I say, she spoke so nice.
Did she?
We all had a little say, you know. Well, a lot of them did, you know.
It wasn't Wainwright's daughter, was it? Would it be Wayne's daughter?
Oh, I don't know.
Could have been.
Did he have a daughter?
Yes.
Would she be 13 or 14, 15 now? It could be.
I would say she's 15, yeah.
I don't know. Paul Wayne died, eh? Drank himself to death.
Right into the...
So brain. I hear he just burned his liver out,
yep.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Foolish boy.
We had quite a few here. Stuart Martin and his wife both died of drinking. And Lorne Burnett down here, he died drinking.
What a waste.
And they tell me that Wainwright, Dr. Kendi had told Wainwright to cut off the drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And he just laughed at him. Thought it was funny. It wasn't too funny. I wonder if his mother is still alive.
Oh, yeah, Frieda.
That's all.
Yeah, she comes to the Golden Age Club.
Over here?
Don't
tell
me. Yes, yeah.
I must go over and have a word with her.
Yeah.
I gave her some raspberry plants one time, and I planted them for her. And in return, she gave me a bunch of onions. I have a big garden at the back here, you know. And she gave me some onions to set.
Yeah. Oh, Frieda's...
I'd like to see her.
Frieda's still going well. She's well.
That right?
Yes, very well.
Well.
Yeah.
A lovely woman to talk to.
Yes. Yeah, she's going to be...
Wayne, I was surprised. You know, he was such a big, strong fellow. He worked for the Department of Highways, and of course, Ross is still working for him. But he shook hands with Ross one time at Christmas time or something. And he squeezed so hard that Ross had a sore hand for years after. He must have broke some bone or something in there.
Oh,
he was a strong fellow. Too bad to have drank himself to death.
Yeah. You know, that brings up a question I want to ask you.
Oh.
About the Temperance Society.
Oh.
Who was the one in this village?
Hmm?
Was there a Temperance Society in this village?
I don't know. Pardon me. Yeah, he's going down. Well, I can't walk anymore. Terrible. And you know, to think, in my young days, now I'm not bragging one little bit, I was quite an athlete when I went to college, you know.
Yeah.
I belonged to the basketball team there. I was a very good basketball player, but I played hockey, football, you know. I didn't excel in any one of those, but basketball was my game. And you know, I miss seeing the Globetrotters here this year. I've never seen them. They say they put on quite a show.
Oh, I've never seen them.
No. You know, I tried to get in touch with you last night, and I phoned three numbers, and they were all the wrong numbers, so I just gave it up.
Yeah.
Now, what's your husband's name?
I don't have a husband.
There's a daughter right there.
No, no.
It's not him.
No. I'm divorced. My husband doesn't live here.
Oh. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. 12 years.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My number is 833-2745. Do you know where I live, Vic?
I phoned 2748 for one number,
I live...
And I tried to find Wayne Wright's number, and I couldn't...
Well, he's an 824.
Hmm?
He's an 824 number.
Oh.
Because they're over at that end, eh?
Oh.
Yeah. That's my number. But, you know, do you know where I live?
No, I don't. Put it in my little book. I'll be sure to have it.
I live in that old house of Angus, across from Angus's. Where, in the double?
Yeah.
Where are we?
Angus Wilson?
Angus, yes. Across from Angus.
Down there.
Is that where? Yeah, that's right. Down there. Yeah.
Across from Angus?
Yes, in the big double.
Oh.
Remember his big double?
Yeah, well, I lived in there.
Did you really?
Yeah.
When?
Yeah, I worked for Angus at one time. Oh, years
and you lived
and
over
years
there?
Ago. When he first came there. And I painted all those houses. I think there was four houses on that side of the road, and three.
Three?
And some had his... At the stone house.
Well, that's where I live. I live in the big one. I've made it into one house.
Yeah.
One big house.
Yeah, the big house.
And it's blue
it's
now.
It's a double.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we lived on the west side.
You did, eh?
Yeah, and later on, I just forget who, McCormick, I think, lived there for a while. Well, they put that in the W there.
Just looking for the W.
I always thought that you lived, I don't know why, I thought that you lived up at the Heights area.
I did at one time.
Oh, you did, eh?
Yes, I lived up there when I was first on council.
Oh.
And then I moved down to Dunlop's Hill.
Dunlop's Hill, oh
yeah. Yeah, and I lived in the old house that Willie Dunlop...
Dunlop's Hill, that's where Sam Fraser used to live.
Willie Dunlop built that log house there, and
uh-huh.
I lived in that there, at the bottom of the little hill there.
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I lived in there, and then I bought this one of Angus's and fixed it and moved
it. Well, you bought that house?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Is somebody living in the other half?
No, I made it into one house.
Oh.
Opened it all up and made it to one big house.
Is that right?
Yes, uh-huh. It's nice. I want you to tell me about the Gospel Hall.
Gospel Hall?
Yes. That used to be across the road there.
Down here?
Yes.
It burnt, I think.
Mm.
Yes, it burnt.
Who built it?
I wouldn't know. That's a way back.
Yeah.
That's a way back. I know there was a Spratt, Tom Spratt, I think. He had three daughters, Florence, Eva, and I forget the other name. And then the Laroque lives there. And he joined the Second War, went overseas and came back. The poor. Yeah, and his dad Oliver lived in what we call the drugstore then. There was a building down there that used to be a drugstore. Yeah, it's not there anymore, it burnt down. And they used to, J.D. Ferguson used to do some preaching in there.
Oh,
it was a small gathering, you know.
Yeah.
And in the spring he went towards Calabogie and into all that country there. And preach there. Poor John Watson, you know, we used to talk about him, you know. He was a miserable guy, this fellow Ferguson. And he was a preacher at that, you know. But anyway, John said he used to go up in that, Whitney and all through that country. He'd go up early in the spring so he'd catch all the money preaching.
What religion did he belong to?
Oh, I don't know. I think it was a religion of his own.
Was it the Plymouth Brethren?
I don't think he had any special religion. He just preached, that was all.
Was he ordained as a minister?
No, I don't think so.
No, eh?
Just one of these homemade.
Okay. You know where your daughter lives, Jean?
What's that?
Where Jean lives, in the house that Jean lives in.
Yeah, down below here, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there used to be a big old house next to it. Do you remember when you were a kid?
Quite well.
Yes.
We played in that house after it was vacated as youngsters. When I'd say, 10 years old, 12 years old or so, we used to play in the house there. There was nobody living in it.
No.
And there was always water in the cellar, I remember that. And up in the garret of the old house, you know, in case of fire, the houses, we all have them.
Yes,
you know,
the tank.
Places where they can get in there. There was an awful stack, and I felt so sorry, even lately, that I didn't pick up some of those letters. In fact, I picked up one or two and showed them to my dad. His grandfather was in the lumbering business here in the 1800s. They had a wharf built at the, down at the river, where the ferry is now, on the west side, and there's big, huge timbers there for years when we used to swim at the wharf there, you know. I say 1920 or around there, 18, and they used to bring the logs down, it's all a log country, you know, down to the wharf, and there was an incline there on the left-hand side when you take the ferry today. Mm-hmm. There was an incline there, and those big timbers were all there, you know, kind of buried and rotted out a bit, you know, and this and that. And they used to bring the logs down and bring them into this parking lot on the left-hand side, on the west side of the road going to the ferry. And the incline used to roll the logs automatically, you know. And they'd load barges there and whatnot. And sometimes they'd dump them right in the river and form booms of logs. Oh, God. Oh.
Who lived in that house?
Where in?
That house you used to play in. Who lived in it?
There was, that was my grandfather's house.
Oh, it was, eh?
I should say, my dad's grandfather. Dad's father and mother died when he was 6 years old, he and his sister. And the grandfather kept the both of them. And she married Benedict, the sister. And that's when I went to school, I stayed there. And this and that and the other thing. So, but the dad's grandfather, that was in the 1800s. I was born in 1899.
That's a long time. You're nearly going to be 100, Vic.
Oh, it could be.
You're going to make it.
My mother would have made it, only she died with the heat in the home down there, you know. She played that game that's a card game that everybody plays.
Euchre? Crib?
No.
Whist?
Cribbage. Yeah. I think it was cribbage. Some game anyway she played the day before, and she died the next day in the heat. She would have lived over the 100. Only the heat killed her. Yeah. Three of the women died of the heat that time, that day.
Hmm.
So she was 99 and a half.
So tell me about these letters. Did you keep that letter that you got out of that house?
Hmm?
You said you brought some letters home for your dad out of that house.
Oh yes, I brought a couple of the letters home to dad. And it's a wonder he didn't get me to pick up a bunch of them, you know.
Who were they from?
It was written by his grandfather, you see. He was in the lumbering business, you see, logging business. Mm. You know? That was a big business, you see. And all there's a pile of them there. Great things to read now.
Yep. What did you ever do with those two you brought home?
Hmm? Oh, I don't know. That's the thing I don't know. My mother, pardon me. My dad was a great lad to read the newspaper, of course. The Free Press, it used to be then, the Journal. And anything was election time, any comical stuff that he'd get in there, he'd put it in this scrapbook, you know, and his scrapbook disappeared. And I think my sister's adopted daughter, she picked up and threw it as a baby, probably has the book. And I've lost track of her. I've tried to phone her and everything else, and there was no connection with the phone. But yet, Jean Hartness down here, you know her,
yeah.
Peter's mother, one of their relatives ran into Susan on the street. And since that, I've been trying to get a hold of, see if they can locate her. But she got she got the bundle.
She did.
Oh, yeah. Jack worked for the Department of the government, you know, on research work on grain and stuff. Traveled to Europe and all over the place.
Mm.
She went with him, of course, sometimes, most of the time. And he had a good job, and she taught school all her life. Even when she was married, she taught school. I died with a bunch of money. The little girl got everything. I got $1,000. That's all.
You mean from your parents?
Yeah. My sister told me one time, you know.
What was her name?
She said, Vic, Mrs. Welch. She married Jack Welch.
What was her first name?
He was from across the river there someplace.
Yeah. What was her first name?
Hmm?
What was her first name?
Jean.
Oh, Jean?
Jean Factors. Jean Dunning. My daughter.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Where the years have gone, Patricia, I don't know.
They go really...
After I left 70, they just piled up. And to think I had to finish off this way, you know, terrible.
Well, in the summertime, is it...
I went to three dentists. I went to three specialists, and they took x-rays, and the whole three of them had the same report. We can't operate on you. You're too full of arthritis. So I was in hopes of having a pair of new knees, you know?
Yeah.
No way.
Like Carlton.
But a friend of mine, Galloway down here, tells me he was down to Arizona. And it's a great place for people with arthritis.
That's what they say.
He said he knew a woman that went down there. He was down there himself. But he knew this woman that went down there. And as soon as she got down there, she got 100% better. And the minute she stepped out over here, bang, arthritis again. But who wants to go and live in arthritis?
In Arizona.
Live in arthritis.
Live in Arizona, yeah.
You live in...
That's a long ways from home.
Yeah, Arizona.
Oh. Okay, Vic, who was your dad?
Pardon?
Who was your father?
G.G. Dunning. And that is his grandfather's name, G.G. Dunning.
George Gibb?
George Gibb.
And who was your mother?
Amelia Laverne.
Really? Up here?
Laverne, yeah. She's still Laverne from out here.
Amelia. Oh, so you had a French mother, eh?
Yep. Speak French and English. One is as good as the other. Pretty
oh,
good.
Easy. Yeah, equally.
My French is not the best, but it's pretty good.
And who were your brothers and sisters?
The one that got killed here not too long ago, a few years ago, is Mrs. Welch. You want her Dunning name? Gertrude Dunning.
Was she the oldest one?
Yeah.
So there was Gertrude?
Gertrude Dunning.
And she married?
Jack Welch.
And?
Georgie. Georgina Dunning. Now, I can't think of her husband's name, Bill, something. But she married a second time to a LaFleche, a LaBreche. Second time, though.
Yeah.
Bill Hayden, H-A-Y-D-N. He was a brother of Senator Hayden in the House.
Really?
He died just a few years ago.
And then she married a LaBreche. One of these LaBreches?
Hmm?
From our township, a LaBreche?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Then?
Georgina? Gibb? George Gibb. G.G. Dunning. George Gibb. He married... No, I don't think I ever knew her name. I don't know her name.
Okay.
My first name is Loretta somebody, but who that was, I don't know.
And then?
Then it was Bert, the doctor.
Robert? Bert?
Herbert Dunning.
Herbert.
Herbert Arthur Dunning. And he married a woman, I don't know what her name is, but her first name is Marjorie. I could get those names for you.
Okay.
That's the game.
And then you?
And me.
And you were the youngest?
Yeah. I'd been an executioner there.
Who did you marry, Vic?
Pearl Brennan.
Pearl?
Pearl Brennan.
Oh, you did you? Is she the only one you married?
Right.
Is she the only one you married? Pearl?
Oh, yeah.
She was the sister of Mike and Patrick and Martin?
She was the sister of Mrs. Dan Scar. She's a sister of Ada Thomas over here.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah, I don't know those other women's names.
It'll come back to you one of the days. You think about it.
I could get them for you anyway, you know.
Yeah.
Through the rest of the family, like.
Did you know the Garvocks? Did you know the Garvocks?
Garvocks? Very much.
Yeah, they lived...
Back here about 3 or 4 miles. I get Greg Garvick. Greg is the oldest fellow.
Yeah.
And Walter and Jimmy, Annie, brothers and sisters. Oh yeah, I don't know. He belongs to the old senior citizens.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, group, yeah.
You should come to that. Okay. And, trying to think what else I need to ask you. Who built that house that your granddad lived in? That house that your grandfather lived in, who built it?
I don't know who built it. It was built years ago, around the 1800s, I guess. But grandfather lived that stone house that's tore down. Angus tore it down when he came to the village. I don't know why. But it was right next to Jean's place there now, Peter Harkness. There's a big stone house there, lovely big stone house.
Really?
And Angus took a notion to tear it down. I don't know. It is funny things, Angus. He finds a fellow, but you know, he come down there and he started tearing up the swamps that were on the farm, and he had 400 or 500 acres. He didn't need those swamps at all, you know. A natural place for the foxes and the coons and partridge and whatnot. Lovely swamp. Tore them down. Cultivated the land. Now he can't use it all, he rents some to Williams and whatnot. Mm. Funny idea. I hated very much to see those swamps, so.
Yeah.
I snared rabbits after you went over the French the hill here. You know, you go up the hill here, and then Wilfred Murray used to live on that side there, a bunch of houses. On both sides there, after you got up a little piece, not too far, there was a heavy swamp on both sides. And I used to go up there and snare rabbits. And look at it now.
Finished
it. Swamps all gone. Yeah, and Williams bought a lot of land around. Yeah. However, people talk about progress. I don't know. I'm not too fond of this progress. I like to see the country in the state it used to be.
So do I. So do I, indeed.
Well, not exactly, but better than it was.
Yes.
But not all these swamps got down.
No.
And you take this bush up here, paved roads all through it.
Yeah.
Where we used to hunt foxes and stuff. Pick mayflowers when we were kids.
Yes, it's a sad thing.
Back at the top of that hill at one time was a huge wild raspberry patch. You can't imagine, Patricia, how many berries that grew up on top of that hill before they put the cattle in there, you know. After the bush was cut down some, the raspberries come up. They used to come from Massow in rowboats to pick raspberries in the hill.
Is that right?
You said picnics in the hill. A.E. Ray, Poulin's, the big department stores in Ottawa, would hire the old Victoria, the pasture boy, to bring their crowd down. The time there was no cars then.
No.
Hardly any cars. Leslie Dunning was the only one that had a car. Leslie had a great art. And Rivington had I forget what kind of car he had, an Oakland or something. And there was somebody else. There were 3 cars that got here. That's all there was for a while. Till the T-model Fords came in. And oh boy, did they ever come in. Yeah. Boy, oh boy.
Do you remember the story of those boys that were killed for money at the ferry?
The 2 McGonagall girls?
Well, that's one, yeah.
2 sisters?
Yeah.
You know, I even thought of that just yesterday, I guess, the other day. I pictured a gruesome picture. Now that man, Narcisse Laroque was his name. He must have hung for it. As he caught the little girls going through the bush up here and killed the both of them. What a gruesome picture it must have been for one little girl to get killed and then turn around and watch him kill the other one. Terrible thought. Terrible thought. I hate to say it. I try to get my mind on something
else. And what about the two farmhands? The two farmhands, the boys that came out of the orphanage?
The one that the Rock and Levitt were killed? Yeah, you see, one of them, Jack Watson, I think, heard they were across there on the far side, going to take the ferry across from Nassau to Cumberland here. Jack Watson claims he heard the lad yell that they drowned. They shoved him into the car, and I guess he yelled, and Jack Watson said he heard the lad yelling, and they pushed the car into the river. No. Then they killed the fellow in the barn after that. Then they got hung. They were hung. You remember that, I guess?
No, I remember reading about it, but I never knew who did it.
Yeah, that's, it was Laroque and Levitoire.
The same Laroque that killed...
No. Probably related, eh? Hard to say. Yeah, that was a sad affair. But the fellow in the barn, they killed the fellow in the barn some way. And I just forget the story. But I think they had a knife or a fork or something that they threw up in the hay mow and buried it in the hay. But they found the tools that they used. They were smart enough to dig up the hay and they're terrible. They drowned the fellow over here and then they killed this fellow down here. And you know, I knew both of them. And this fellow, Laroque, was the smoothest tongued chap you could listen to. He had a wonderful dialect, if that's what you call it. You know, you just love to hear him talk. Lovely voice. Lavitoire was a gardener. I worked for him when I was a kid, about 10 years old. He used to go down, he hired us to weed his garden. Commercial gardener, you know.
Where did he live?
He used to go to market with his produce and stuff. Lavitoire. An awful nice fellow.
Where did Lavitoire live?
Hmm?
Where did Lavitoire live?
Beckett's Creek. You know where the store used to be at Beckett's Creek? After you get up the hill on the right, there's a house on the left-hand side, right there. He lived in that house, and he gardened a little bit of property that was there. He was great for hotbeds and stuff, you know. Made a living. Oh, a nice fellow. Good wonder. Yes. Yeah, Angus tore down the old house. Lovely big stone house. Lovely.
In what year was... are we talking about the same house? Is that the house you found these letters in?
Which?
You told me you found some letters.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the same house?
Same house, yeah.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, there was a pattern there. Very interesting to read, you know. Yeah, but the letters he wrote, business letters, I guess, you know, I forget what they were. But they've been a great thing to read today.
Oh, yes, by golly.
I know I brought a couple of them home to show my dad. It's a wonder he didn't say pick them up.
Yes, because I think they held council meetings in that house, eh?
I don't know.
From what I've
I
heard.
I don't know. They did keep store in the house that Pete Harkness is in today. They kept a store there.
Yep. Post office. And
post
a store.
Office, I guess,
That's so there must have been other buildings along that side of the road there then, eh? In those days, if there was a store and then there was Harkness, there was
there was only one house down there in those days. And you know, if you went down here and you're going to the school and you went down to the east end of the village and turned in to go to the school. There was a big white house on that side we lived in. So I guess Angus tore that down too, I don't know.
No, that's the house I live in.
Hmm?
Next to McCrae's?
Yes, just across the road.
That's the one I live in. That's now my house. Angus moved it over to where it is now.
Well, you live
Angus
in that house?
Angus is dead, yes. Angus's father moved that house in about 1920.
Oh.
Over to where it is now, and that's where I live, in that big house.
Well, we lived in that house.
Did you really?
Yeah, I don't know how long.
Do you remember somebody named Greer?
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 The name is very familiar.
Did they run a potashery?
I don't know, but I know I my dad talked about the Greers, whoever they were, yeah. I don't know. I don't know anything about them.
No way. Somebody told me that there was a potashery down there somewhere.
A which?
A potashery. People brought their potash. You know, the women burnt the trees. They burnt the trees and they made potash.
Oh.
And they brought it down to the village here, and it went on boats, I guess, to Ottawa or wherever it went. And somebody here collected it. And it was somebody named Greer or Grierson.
Yeah, I don't know the first name, but I know my dad often talked about the Greers.
So, yeah. And
they must have been business people or something.
Yes. And where did they live?
I don't know.
No, eh?
There's people I never come in contact with. They were gone before my time.
Does the name Thomas Gordon mean anything to you?
Yeah.
Thomas think. Gordon?
Gordon, no.
No, eh? He was a partner with Wilf Sharkey's dad?
Oh.
When they lived here? Where? Yeah, they lived in this house. Sharkey's dad lived in this house.
Sharkey's dad?
Mm.
Yes.
Or granddad.
Because Frank was one of the younger ones, which was the same age as I was. We played together.
Mm.
So they had a pump shop here.
Right here.
Make pumps right here.
In this house, yeah.
And I remember the setup out here. There was a stable there, big stable, kind of a barn a bit. They kept two or three horses. And in the winter, they kept their cows here. In the summer, they brought them down to the farm and pastured them there and whatnot. And Jack used to go down every day to the farm with his team of horses to work the farm. And they lived here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And at the back here, there was this big stable, or barn you might call it. You could put hay in the top of it. And that was the horse stable. Then there was a cow stable next to that. And then back of that, there was a hen house or something else. And to finish up the buildings on that side of the lot here, they had their pump shop at the back. Mm. A huge, it was a big pump shop. And they even bought some logs, some trees from my dad to make the pumps, because dad had a farm and there was some nice pine trees on it.
Mm.
And Jack, the oldest boy, he used to make pumps there. And they had a shop at the back there. And along the fence here, there was some kind of a carriage that turned an auger. A big auger, could be but not long, or screw into something, and then they'd start the machinery, and this auger would turn. And it was driven by a huge wheel built out of wood, can you imagine? And there was a belt run on that, you see, and they had a horse to drive this thing, make the belt go, gears and stuff, and the horse went round and round and round, and a fellow sat on the beam of that to make sure the horse wouldn't stop, you know. They kept them going, and that turned the auger for to turn the wheels. Mm-hmm. And the bottom of the pumps, there was a valve on the bottom of the pumps, a square block about that size. Oh, I can see the block. A block about that size, which had a leather. They used to make their own leather, cure their own leather and stuff, and they had a vat there, so lots of things I could tell you. But anyway, this valve on the bottom was on a block of wood. And they had a piece of leather cut out to fit the top of the block. And every time you'd pump the handle, the force of the pump, the handle going down, would force the bottle, the water, up this tube into the valve and open the valve so the water could get out.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the handle went down, of course, the valve would close. It would fill up with water. That's where the water, and say, could you ever pump the water fast?
Hmm.
They had a spout on there about that size, a wooden spout about so long. They used to drive it into the pump, you see, and the handle. And oh boy, could you ever pump water fast?
Right.
Oh.
And that was right out here.
When I think of all those old things that happened here in my time, you know.
Tell me about them.
Hmm?
Tell me about them.
Yeah. So anyway, that was the pump business anyway. But the crowds of people that used to pick berries on that hill. Oh, wait, let that go. My sister worked in the government out here, you know. She knew a lot of people there, you know, a lot of friends, you know. And she had a few friends there. And they wanted to come down here and pick berries. The top of this hill, as I've already told you, they used to come from Massillon to pick berries. The whole hill there, acres and acres of berries. So, anyway, my sister and her girlfriend, my sister had this boyfriend, and he was related to this other girl, this and that and the other thing. But anyway, I go up with them, show them where the berry patch was, and up we go with baskets and whatnot. After work, the government's hours, yeah. And we picked berries near dark. was just about dark. At the bottom of the hill here, they had cut the bush down, where it's all paved roads today. They had cut the bush down, and the raspberries grew up. Cut a bush down, what comes up? Wild raspberries. Mm. The birds deposit from the birds, you know. And anyway, it was just about dark, and the farmer had put a fence at the bottom of this hill, you know, for pasture purposes, you know. And we started to get across this fence. This Bert Bristow, he's quite the ladies' man, you know. And he worked at the Center Theater. He was stage manager there, the Center Theater. And anyway, we come out, started out, and anyway, down over the cliff, you know, kind of a high ridge there. And this fence at the bottom, I think it must have been, it was a barbed wire fence. You know what barbed wire is? So they went to get the girls through the fence, you know, so Bert, being a gentleman, you know, he lifted the wire and this stuff. So then somebody held the wires for him so he could sneak between the two layers of wires, you know. And it was all just about dark. He reached 1 foot over, you see, and when he did, he just happened to put it in his basket of berries. So he stepped right in the basket of berries.
Oh, my.
I'll never forget that. Oh. Yeah. Ruined all his evening's pecking.
It must have been nice in those days here, in this village.
But to go up there and pick berries, canes there, the wild raspberry canes were up over your head, you know, and loaded.
Who owned that property then?
I'd have to do some thinking. It must have been Fulbert. He had the farm. I say it must have been, I hope I'm right. And they had the farm, and they lived in the house that belonged to the farm, and that's where Mrs. Nuttall lives today.
Clara?
Over here.
Really?
Over here.
Was that...
We moved around quite a bit in those days, trying to get a house and stuff. We'd have to get one, they'd happen to sell it in one thing and another. But from one thing to another, we moved into the Nuttall house. And I won't tell you who owned it before that, because you know, I think you know them.
Tell me.
Hey?
Tell me.
But anyway, we were only in there overnight, and the wallpaper was torn a little bit on the wall, you know. Wasn't too good shape. You would be surprised how many bed bugs were inside the wallpaper. Patricia, I'm not telling you a bit of a lie, but you could tear the wallpaper any place there, and there'd be maybe 15 or 20 bed bugs underneath there, loaded with bed bugs. So, of course, we got the heck out of there the next day. We found some place, I guess we come into here, maybe, I don't know. But oh boy. And we had bed bugs in here, too, when we got into here.
You know...
But poor Ethelyn, my daughter, that was down there yesterday, she's working in the government, she had a good job. And every Saturday, when she come home, there was a bed bug raid. They'd go through all the beds, turn the mattresses up and down and spray them, and the Imperial Oil had come out with some kind of a spray for bed bugs and whatnot, you know. Mm. And every Saturday everyone goes through that till we got rid of them all.
It was a very common thing in those days.
Oh.
Very common,
oh.
You know. It just
you know,
sounds
I
awful
remember
today.
So well, one time. Poor Lloyd, he's dead and gone. Lloyd was a little baby, very small.
Who?
He was Lloyd, my son.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he died a few years ago with muscular dystrophy.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Side story.
Oh, my.
But anyway, we found the young lad was, the cradle was rocking a bit, you know, now and then in the night, so Lloyd and I, one of us, got up to see what was the matter with him. And we just had moved in a day or so, I don't know, now. And the poor little crib was full of bed bugs. Oh. So then, from there on, I can't tell you the story. If we got out of here, or where we went. But I do remember the bed bugs going after poor Lloyd. It was a common thing in those days.
Oh, very common.
Yeah.
Very common.
There's no bed bugs today.
No, because we live... Well, we have vacuums and we have things today that we didn't have in those days to We couldn't clean as well in those days.
That's right, that's right.
You know?
That's right.
We didn't have...
Changing the subject just a little bit. Pat, what do you think is going to happen to the people of the earth? How is it going to end up? You know what I think? I think the insects will get us.
The insects?
We have these ear bugs now. Ear bugs. They're a wicked thing.
What are they?
They're little...
Oh, earwigs.
Ear bugs.
Earwigs.
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 Oh, don't worry about it. In England, they've had them for years and years and years. In England and Europe, they've had earwigs, I can remember, when I was a child.
Well, what's going to happen if they get into the houses?
Oh, they don't hurt you. They can get into your house. They're not harmful. They don't want to be in your house. If they get into the house, I'm sure it's by accident. They don't want to be in your house. They want to be out.
Could be.
Oh, we lived with those for years in England.
You think so?
Oh, yes. I grew up with earwigs.
Oh, that right?
Oh, yes. They're not terrible.
Yeah.
It's just that they're a new bug in Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all.
But anyway, I was talking to my neighbor here across the fence here, and I tell you, he's a good one.
Your neighbor across the fence?
Yeah. Johnny Chaton.
Oh, yes.
Ask Trace, I think you'll find it.
He's a good fella.
Up on top, I think, Ben.
Yeah.
Is it not? No, on the shelf there.
Oh, on the shelf.
Is there none there?
No, but I got one here.
What, tell you? Oh, yeah, that's one.
Yeah, Johnny's good to you. Is he? John, good?
Yeah. Anyway, he was telling me, we're talking here this summer. I hire him to do all the work, you know. And very good. He never wants to charge you, but I pay him anyway, you know. And anyway, he was telling me, we got talking about the earbugs, you know. I told him I thought I might, if I could get around at all when the hot weather comes, I might sow corn instead of berries. I'm plowing up my berry patch.
Oh.
It's finished. Yes,
can you give me some roots? Have you all got?
No, I have. I don't recommend mine at all. I have disease in mine.
Oh.
And the disease is killing them, and they're winter killing them, you know. So there's no use you planting them, because I couldn't take those to plant myself.
No.
I have some in the back here. I can have them if you like. I could get you a few. I have a few in the back here. They're not affected too much. You didn't want many?
No. Just a couple.
Well, I'd find you a few. Take a chance on them.
Yes.
But not down there. There. The patch just burned itself out with disease and stuff. But a very common thing. I've read the books, you know, for a long time on diseases, on raspberries, and I know a lot about them. I've grown them for 40, 50 years, so you're bound to know something. So I know what to do with berries and stuff, and I have to get it on. Of course, since I sold this property at the back here, 7 acres, you know, I sold it at the back where the home is. That was all mine.
Was it?
Oh, yeah. I made a fortune of that.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. You'll hardly believe this. I was working in Ottawa at the time for Walker's Bread. And then one of my customers said, Mrs. Newington, I know her so well, she's a lovely woman. She's a bread customer. She says, Baker, you're going to lose me as a customer. I have to move. Because the house has been sold. So who come in with a fellow I went to school with here, that lived here as a farmer for years with his dad, you know what I'm saying? And so he came in, and anyway, I said, do you want to sell that piece of property down there? Yes, he said, I'd be glad to sell it. Don't want very much for it. So 7.5 acres right there, where the home is. So he says, you mustn't lose my story. So I says, what do you want for it? Well, he says, there's 7.5 acres there, and he says, I want, what is it, $150 cash. I didn't have 5 cents. So I didn't buy it, but I went, told my dad about it. My God, he says, go back and buy it. He says, the man's giving it to you. Well, he says, go back today. Tomorrow might be too late. But I waited until tomorrow, and it worked out. So I paid him $169. For a couple of years, I don't know what it was, but I sold it for
$125,000.
Oh. This is private.
Oh, yes, oh, yes. Oh, oh, my God.
Yeah, I sold it for
7 acres, oh, my
goodness. $125,000. The last lot I sold over there is the one in the corner of that lovely house there. I got $17,000 for it. And I got 10,000 for most of them, got 12,000 for one, and so on and so forth. But anyway, that's what I got. Mm. 125,000 cost me 169. Now that was really broke. It fell into a fortune, a real fortune, in a couple of farms on the hill here, and then his dad in the farm here, and his dad and mother died and everything else, and he got it up in there. You know, he thought it was awfully smart. He went into the trucking business, Mack, Big Mack trucks, years ago. That fell through. Then he went to Inkerman and got into the coal business, and there's two fellows there, took him for a ride there. Oh, they took him for a ride. So that's the time that he came and bought this house on Lisgar Street. I think it was Lisgar, Cooper, it was. Forget, it doesn't matter. So he came into there, and of course, as soon as he got into there, he tried to sell me the house, and he did. So he sold the house.
Which? The house on Cooper Street?
Yeah, $169.
Oh!
And I got $125,000
for
it. Oh, Vic! Little bits, you know. 10,000 here, 17,000 there. And the lad that bought the last part of it there, this is all. Yeah.
My God, that's fabulous.
So that made me
a rich man.
But, you know, Patricia, if I had got that 40 or 50 years ago, it would have been different. You know, of course, it wasn't worth that much money then.
No. And really, now, what can you
but
do
you
with
know,
it now?
Beggar's sake, it was too late to run into that kind of money.
Yes.
Here I am, sitting here,
right,
living on the interest of my money, of course. Mm. Yeah.
And now your children will get in.
Yeah, you see him.
Yeah.
Poor lad, he died of that muscular disease. Terrible.
And he was your only son?
No, Ross. I have a fellow Ross.
Oh.
Ross, Jean, and Evelyn left. It's just see them to divide the money, of course. They'll get a bundle of it.
Oh, yes.
I was talking to a relative in the family, I'll put it that way, a relative in the family, yesterday. And she told me, I'll just name my name, she says, Vic, if you don't do something with your money, the government is liable to take it all, or the most of it.
Mm-hmm.
She says, you better think it over. It'd be too bad to lose all that money.
Well, it would be too bad to give it to the government.
Yeah, so I'm going to wait and talk to Peter. What's today, Friday? Saturday?
Friday.
Saturday?
No, Friday.
Friday.
Today.
Today's Friday. So Peter will be home today. So I'm going to talk to Peter about it. He's pretty smart.
Yeah, as long as you...
But I don't know. God, you hate like hell giving your money away now.
Well, you don't want to give it away now, do you?
But if...
As long as you leave it in your will, that your children are going to have it,
yeah.
they can't take it away from
but,
you.
This lady that owned up pretty smart, she says, yes, they can take your money, most of it.
No, they can't.
They can touch their will money.
No, if you've willed it to, if your will is all correct, signed by your
will. I have it split three ways.
If you...
Ross, Jean, and Evelyn.
Yeah.
Evelyn needs it. Ross could use it, yes. I bought him a house.
Oh, well, there you go.
I bought him a brand new house.
Yeah.
After I got my mortgage all fixed up for the food. The lad paid up his mortgage and everything else. I could tell a lot of him off. So, anyway.
No.
It's all clear, anyway.
As long as you've got it all written down somewhere and signed by a witness. Not somebody that's going
well,
to inherit
it. I told this party, I said, oh, God, if you've got a will, the people get the will. Oh, so the government will come in and see how much money you've got in the bank and charge you this and that.
No.
I'll see a lawyer first.
See a lawyer. Get it all written down.
I don't think you know him, but you know Jim Ryan? No.
No.
Oh, he's a home private chair.
Well, that's good. That's good.
I see Jim.
See Jim and write down exactly how much you've got and how much your children are going to each have. You don't have to give it to them now.
Because there's lots of times I figure, oh, I'll buy this and buy that. I did buy another car, you know.
I see that, yes.
Yeah, $10,000.
Nice.
So I don't know. The knees weren't near as bad as they are now. If I had these knees when I bought the car a year ago, I don't think I'd have bought the car.
Well, you can still drive, can't you?
Well, yes, I can get out to the car. But The knees are so bad that I put that coat on there. No, that's your coat. Yeah, mine's underneath. I put that coat on, oh, an hour ago or 2 hours ago. I said, heaven, let's clean up that veranda before Pat comes. I got the coat on and I walked over to the door and says, no way can I clean that veranda. So I says, to heck with it.
What you need to do is have somebody build you a ramp that you can walk down to your car.
Yeah.
Not have to go down the steps.
Yeah.
Have a ramp built. It won't cost you a lot of money, Vic.
I can get to a car with trouble.
Well,
but once I'm in the car, I'm dandy.
Why with trouble? You know, if you have a ramp built that you can walk down carefully with your stick,
yeah,
then right to your car door, you don't have to worry about steps.
Well, I'm lucky that I can have the car so close.
That's right, yeah.
Very lucky. But I have to get all my work done. I had little weed jobs, you know, I used to enjoy doing, you know. No, I couldn't. I said, by God, I'm not going down those steps.
No, yeah. Don't blame you.
The pain is something terrible. Sitting down here, you wouldn't know that it's going near. But oh boy, the minute I get on, the weight on.
Yeah,
215 pounds.
Yeah. Better lose some weight.
Yeah.
Oh, what about your lot down there? Do you own that lot?
Well,
you
know, no, I don't.
You don't?
My dad gave it to my brother, the doctor, which sounds funny to you, but I'll tell you why. My brother and my father was pretty well fixed. You know, he didn't have too much money, but he had enough to get by. And he worked till a pretty good time guy. He was a salesman. And Bert kept him in money, kept him in extra money. We'll call it extra money. Paid their bills, paid their taxes, paid everything. They had the house to live in, across the street. So when he made his will, he said to the mother, he says, Bert's been awfully good to us. Over the years, he gave us a pile of money, because he had it. Mm-hmm. He was a very successful doctor in Cobalt, in the mining country. And he's told me so often, he says, I charge the guys that have it, and he says, I don't charge the fellows that haven't got it. He says, that's the way I run my business. But he says, I get lots of partridge, lots of deer meat, moose meat, fish. So that is the case. Anyway.
So it belongs to Bertie.
So anyway, it belongs to my sister-in-law, Bert's, my brother's doctor's wife. And one of her sons lives across the street, in the house they bought across the street.
Oh,
They bought it from my sister. She bought it first. And they bought it from my sister. Then the sister got sorry that she sold it. And she went to buy it back, and Bert wouldn't sell it to her back. So Joan is in it now, one of the sons, older sons. Bill came down there from Whitehorse, and his wife. They're living here now. They didn't like the North Country, most of the Indians and whatnot there. And they're down there. They're both teaching school here. They rent an apartment in Ottawa, in Orleans, right close to his school. Oh, not a 5 minute walk.
Oh.
And she's working away from the school out there, uses her car. So they both got, they're well educated, and I don't know what they're getting, but I guess they're getting
enough.
A pile. Mm-hmm.
So which house does your nephew live in? Which house, when you say across the road, which house?
Next to the store.
Oh.
Next to the church.
The white one?
No, the brick house.
The brick house?
Across the street, over there.
Oh.
Oh, right next to the store.
Ah.
Big brick house. Lovely, lovely home. Oh, well fixed inside, I tell you. Yeah. So, nephew lives there. John lives in Notre Dame. What is it? That race place there, in New Orleans.
Oh, Notre Dame des Champs?
Yeah, Notre Dame des Champs. Mm-hmm. Right close to school. So George, a son, another son, he's teaching school. Pardon me. On the suburb of Montreal. Jim is teaching school in Belleville. Dale is teaching school in Orleans. They're all teaching school except one. That's John over here.
Mm.
And he's a government accountant. Mm.
So he'll be able to tell you what to do with your money?
Hmm?
He'll be able to tell you what to do with your money.
He might.
If he's a government accountant.
I wouldn't want him to know what I've got.
No, that's the problem. That's the problem.
Yeah, and I know Bill is dying to find out. But he's tricky. Don't leave any letters on the table or he'll pick them up and read them. That's terrible. That's bad manners. I told him here one day, he picked up, I said, that's a private letter, Bill, don't read that. But I'm awful good fellow to help you. Wash your car, do any damn thing.
That's great. This house that Clara Nuttall lives in. This house that Clara Nuttall lives in. Clara's house? The white one?
Oh, yeah, she's up there.
Yeah, okay. It's a lovely house, too. It's old, eh?
Oh, it's old, yeah. That's where the bedbugs were.
Yeah, I wonder who built that house.
Oh, God. We've got to go back too far.
Yeah?
Yeah, we've got to go back too far.
But a Faubert lived in it, you say?
Hmm?
A Faubert lived in it? A Faubert? One of the Faubert
yes.
lived in it?
Yes. Faubert's were common inhabitants of the town here. There was Napoleon Faubert. You go down from the church there, the first house you run into on the left was a Faubert house. Mrs. Nuttall's house was a Faubert house. Two brothers. A third brother owned the Earl Dunning farm, which was down, don't know who's in there now, but it's down there where Jimmy Warren had bought the farm. And Jimmy, I think, built a new house. They moved the old house down to the, down east here, to the museum. The old house is down there. They moved it down there, from there. And that was a third Faubert.
Really?
There were three brothers here. Nathan, Joe, and Napoleon. Napoleon owned this house down here, and they bought a farm out here, and they did. We bought it. My dad bought it. We lived there for many years. Yeah. Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Do you remember the Orange Hall?
Very much.
Do you remember how it came to be here?
I don't know. It was an orange hall when we came here. Belonged to the Orange Hall. It's still there. But, you know, years ago, when 12th of July came, the Orange Hall, they'd come down and beat the drums there, practicing there before you'd hear that old drum going. Then when the day came, Navin, Virus, Bearbrook, or wherever the meeting was that day, the picnic, we call it, you'd hear the Orange Hall, I can still hear them. Coming back home, you'd hear this old drum, you know, getting closer and closer and closer. I was like, oh boy, oh boy.
Was Carlton Farmer's dad?
Yeah,
on the horse?
He was the big King Billy.
He was, eh?
On the white horse. Oh, yeah.
And you don't remember if it was over on Dale's farm? Was it on Dale's farm before it came here?
I don't know. I wouldn't know.
No, eh?
As far as I know...
You think about that. I'm going to ask you this again. You think about that, Vic. And then I'm going to ask you again. Another day, and see if you can remember how the Orange Hall got there, who built it, and how long it was there.
Well, that I wouldn't know, because that was there when we came to the village.
It was, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever hear tell that it used to be on William Dale's farm?
William Dale?
Yeah. Where the museum is now?
No.
You never heard tell that it used to be over there, eh? Well, you know, the church here, it didn't always used to be there. It used to be up on Fitzpatrick's place, eh, along Martin's Corners there. The Anglican church?
Yes, yes, yes.
And they brought it down here.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, they tore it down, eh?
Oh, they tore it down and
they
built a new one?
Yes, I remember when they tore it down. I tell you why I remember. In the front, it was kind of a little archway near the door. Entering the church or something, like a vestibule, eh? We call it a vestibule. And when they tore that down, it was all eat with ants. Ants that chew wood. And you'd be surprised, it was ready to fall apart, almost. Eat with ants.
Hmm?
Yeah? Yeah, they tore it down. I remember it was torn down, not too many years ago. Well, you know.
You mean it was torn down when it was up at Martin's Corners?
Oh, yeah, they tore it down when it was still livable.
And then they built this new one here, did they?
Yep.
And was the Orange Hall next to it when they built it?
Oh, no. The Orange Hall was way up at the other end of the village. The Orange Hall was way up at the very extreme end of the village.
Whereabouts?
Well, do you know where Smith lives up there?
No.
Well, we'll start at the corner then.
Mountain's Corners?
We'll start at the corner up here.
Yeah.
Opposite the store.
Yeah.
Across from the service station, eh?
Yep.
There used to be a blacksmith shop there
yep.
at one time. Then there was Jim Paquette, first house. Mrs. Devine. McGonigal's. There was a church up there, yes, it's still there. What church is that up there? Is it a Baptist? No. There was a church up there.
Was it? Is that where the Free Church was? Was it called the Free Church?
I guess so. But then there was a church there. Oh, poor Orm Dunning used to go to church there. You knew Orm Dunning?
No.
Oh?
No.
He just had left the old hair piece. He lived to be over 90.
Was he your cousin?
Well, we thought we were cousins. We weren't too sure. We traced some of the Dunnings up and looked as if they were about fourth cousins or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so, okay. So the Orange Hall used to be up there, you're saying?
Oh, yeah, the Orange Hall, way up the other end of the village. Yeah. You know where the fire hall is up
yes.
there?
Yes.
It's just across the street there, short distance. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, when did they bring it down here beside the Anglican Church?
The Orange Hall?
Used to be beside the Anglican Church, eh?
Well, it could be. There's a church up there, yes.
Mm.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it used to be there.
Yeah, it always was there. It was there and we came to the village and it's still there.
No, it's not. It's in the museum.
Oh, it's down here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, see, they moved it. I thought there was something funny about that place up there.
Something missing, eh?
Sure, something missing. But I couldn't figure out what it was.
That's what it was.
I tried to figure Mrs. Devine, Paquette's house, and there seemed to be something missing.
It's the Orange Hall. But we think that maybe the Orange Hall started out to be on William Dale's farm, and then it came up here. And now we've taken it back down there. If that's the case, we've put it back where it was.
I don't remember William Dale.
Well, no, he was the first... he was long before your time, Vic. It
must be.
He was in your grandfather's time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my father was raised by his grandfather. Father, and then his sister grew up, I guess. That part I don't know. And she married a Benedict, George Benedict. And the last one of the Benedicts died just a short time ago. Yeah. But George Benedict's brother, Clayton Benedict, which had a farm close to theirs, died not too long ago. And Wilton was the last one of the George Benedict, my Aunt Doris, dad's sister. So he died here about 5 or 6 months ago.
Really?
A year ago. He was the last. He was here 2 years ago, feeling very well and everything else. But he popped off, so his wife was still alive. So that's the last of the Benedicts, you know, except this woman here.
Did you know Carlton Farmer when you were both kids going to school?
Oh, yes.
Yes?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's about...
I remember Carlton being at the picnic on top of the hill. We're running races there, and we're getting ready to run this race, and Carlton was in the race with me. Yeah, and that's how long ago it is.
It's a long time, eh?
Yeah. Oh, he was a funny guy, Carlton. He's not the guy that I don't think most people would. Although he puts up a good face, you know, but he's one miserable guy. I helped him do his chores one time one winter. I wasn't working or something. And I split all his wood and I used to help him in the bush get wood up and everything else. And I had nothing to do, wasn't working that winter, I guess. I don't know. So anyway, I had split all his wood that he never split himself. He had it all in the shed. Oh, cords and cords, big shed. And so he's supposed to give me some wood in exchange for the work. You know. I remember, I guess, back the sleigh up into their shed and started to load the wood on this real wood, you know. Which wasn't worth only about $2 or $3, $4 a cord then. You know. Oh, he said, yeah, come into the shed. He says, yeah, you've got a pretty big load on there. Well, I said, yeah. Well, I said, well, you've got enough. After helping him part of the winter. Oh, yeah.
And now he's your neighbor.
He was no good as a friend, you know. I never did any use for him, although I have respect for him, if you know what I mean.
Yes, yeah.
But say hello, how are you, Carter, and this and that. But he married a Moffat. In fact, he married two or three women. But he married the first woman was a Moffat. And she'd be up in the morning real early, you know. Well, I don't know what time it would be. But very often you'd see her milking the cows, and he'd be still in bed. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She was a worker. Then he married a really young girl after that. Yeah. But he's all right, though. I didn't like the way he lived.
And now he's your neighbor up here, eh?
Yeah.
So how many of your other friends that you chummed around with are still left in the village?
Who's that?
How many of your other friends that you chummed around with at school when you were kids 80 years ago in the village, how many are still around here?
None.
None, eh?
No, the last one died here about a year ago. Link Beaton. Lived up beyond Eldred Hayes there.
Mm-hmm.
And Eldred Hayes is gone, too.
Yes, Eldred's gone, yes.
Of course, he was a few years older than I was. No, there's not a chum left that I went to school with. Well, when you're 89, you know, there can't be too many.
No. But, you know, people around here live a long time.
They do.
They do, for sure.
They do. Oh, boy, you know, when you drive around the country, you know, lots of times in the evening here in the summer, I just jump in the car and take a run around and see the cattle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know.
It must have changed, eh?
Oh, my. Well, as I mentioned a while ago, progress isn't everything. No. I have very sad thoughts. I like to have somebody with me, so we have a kind of a travelogue, you know. Yeah, that's all my... Places we used to hunt the animals, you know, and pick their raspberries on the hill. I remember those huge crops of raspberries. After they cut the bush down, there's nothing but a raspberry patch. Solid.
Yeah.
It's funny. It must be a deposit from the birds.
I would say. Mm-hmm.
It has to be.
Yeah. Or the wind blows the seed back down and it grows.
Yeah.
But I guess it's all gone.
Oh, I think so. I think so. Only lasts a certain length of time, I guess.
Okay, Vic. It's nice to talk to you.
It's been a pleasure to me.
And can I come and talk to you again?
Oh, anytime at all.
Okay.
Well, then it's a break for me, you know.
Yeah, I know. It's the same with me up there, you know.
Hutterites or what, but there is some kind of a religion. Hornrites.
Hutterites?
I don't know whether that's right or wrong, but... there was an old fellow named Hubbard used to come and preach out back to these people. And their belief was, I went to one meeting just to see what is going on. I can tell you something happened there, but it doesn't matter.
Tell me.
one of the lads. We're all sitting there around this, you know. Anyway, I'll tell you the first part of it and I'll tell you the last. This part of the story comes first. But anyway, my wife was a great believer of this clan, we'll call them, you know, whether they were Hornrites or what. But anyway, they believe in the power, you know, that the power would get in your system, and that three or four of them would get up and start yelling and hooting,
oh.
And hey, 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 hail, 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 and they'd all jump up in the floor there, and they were supposed to be saved. They're supposed to go to heaven. that is our religion. And my wife was a strong believer, you know, because, well, brought up that way.
Yeah.
But she never brought the religion up with me.
Listen.
But anyway, yeah, I'll tell you, yeah. We're sitting here, anyway. The fellow by the name of Ralph Galloway there, sitting next to me. And I was a big stomach, middle up over there, something, in the olden days, right? Anyway, we're all sitting there quiet, and I guess the old fellow was preaching, I don't remember that part of it. One of the lads took sick. Stomach took sick. And he got up off his chair to run for the door, and he didn't make it. So he spewed all over the floor. That's a rotten story to tell you. But anyway, this fellow was sitting beside me, and he said, that hasn't gotten there just since yesterday. Comical devil. Oh,
God. Well, there must have been, when you were a child, there must have been still some Indians around here, eh? When you were a child, there must have been still some Indians around here, were there?
We had one, a neighbor, Louis Jackson. Louis Jackson. And I remember he trapped muskrats, you know, a few muskrats. He'd come in with one or two muskrats. And they were worth 25 cents apiece then. That's what you got for a muskrat skin. Now they're around $7 or $8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yes, that's all.
And they had a building at the back there, or some kind of a shed or something. And they had all kinds of wood in there for to make bows and arrows and all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Out of woodwork, you know. Yeah. But especially with bows and arrows, they make snowshoes, make the catgut and stuff, so weave and everything else. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever hear tell of an Indian burying ground on the Brennan's farm?
On Brennan's farm?
Mm.
Well, now, Jack Wesson brought that question up with me one time of remembering the burying ground that was out there at French Hill. That's French Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Jack, I don't remember that. Yeah, he says there was a burying ground there. So that's what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Jack knew about it.
Yeah. Mike Brennan told us years and years ago.
That's right. You knew Mike, did you?
Yes, yes.
I was trying to think of the names of the day. There was Mike, he was the oldest, and there was Bill, and I can't think of the other one.
Well, I only remember the three. Mike, Martin, and Patrick.
Martin.
Remember, everybody expected that Mike would die, because he was the oldest one, and Patrick died first?
Yeah, they soon died pretty close together.
Martin and Patrick died pretty close together, and it was a surprise. And Mike said to me, you know, I can't believe it. I'm the oldest one, and I'm supposed to be dead, and these two are supposed to be still living. And these two, the younger ones, died. Like, Patrick died first, eh?
Yeah. But they died pretty much together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Martin. I couldn't think of that fellow's name.
Martin. The three bachelors.
Martin. I can remember Martin. He'd wear a very big felt hat.
Yeah.
Yeah, Williams bought that farm.
Yeah,
yeah. He bought a lot of farms.
He did, for sure. Where did that boy get all his money from, I'd like to know? Where did he get all his money from?
I don't know.
Just incredible.
I don't know. And Dad worked a farmer here first. And then he took over. And I don't know where they got the money, but he bought... Oh, he got bargains too, you know. He bought that farm there with a quarry on it, you know.
Mm.
And he sold a lot of quarry out of it there when the road slipped into the river up here. Yeah. Mm. And he got the farm for practically nothing. Yeah. They're workers, though.
They are, yeah.
And smart. They could fix their, repair their own machinery and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what a progressive farmer ends up in. If he's mechanical at all, he can save himself a lot of money.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If you've got to go to the garage with every little job, boy, that's going to eat you up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For Blackburn, Navin, Bearbrook, Hammond, and Cumberland. And every fifth year we had the celebration.
Probably Fires?
No, Fires wasn't that big. It joined in with Bearbrook and Hammond. We make it bigger, you know what I mean? Same as from here to Orleans and back from each senator area. Called it the Comfort Clause, of course.
Oh,
the
what number was it?
357.
357.
Look in the book, you might see.
Yes, okay.
Okay.
So, you know, what I'm trying to find out is whether that building that we moved from here down to the museum is the same building that was always there and had been moved up here, and we moved the bloody thing back.
Well, you tell me something I never heard about
before. Well, I don't know whether that's
because
possible.
Because all that I know, the building, when we come here, we moved here from the peak, from Blackburn. I was 19-4. I was 2 years old. When moved to Petrie Farm on 8th day of April, 1904. We moved from that farm up there on the 8th day of April, 1918, onto the McLaren Farm. She called it the McLaren Farm now.
Why do you call it McLaren Farm?
That's her idea.
McCollum.
That's the McCollum Farm.
Oh,
that's
where
Grandpa bought it from.
Yes.
It was owned by Cameron at one time.
Who?
It was owned by Cameron at one time.
Never.
Unless the land was or something.
Nope. But this is the Cameron.
But I know, as I was growing up, I always heard that it was the McCollum farm. I don't know where they got this Cameron.
John McCollum built that stone house. Not John. Not yours. The old man.
The father.
The old man. Well, the hell he come from Spain or where, them countries up there at and he built that stone house in 1852. Started in 1800, off with a stone on the hill.
Whereabouts on the hill?
I'll take you up someday.
Up the back there,
I can't tell you from here. And on our hill, back to the hill, all that stone is all layers. And sand in between, all you got to do is put a crowbar, pry it up. And there's the sand, real fine black sand, all in between.
Do you
get that?
Yes. Very useful.
Look and see if you can find that $2 bill on it.
Young Orangemen were called Britons.
Britons.
Why were they called Britons?
Well, you ask somebody else, because I was one of them and I don't know. I can't tell you, it's just the name. The 33 Turner Lodge had 5,000 members. In Ottawa, 33 Turner Lodge, Britain, at one time. And every goddamn one nearly went overseas.
They had the young girls, you know,
called them Bearbrook of 30 girls, and Navin of 30 girls. We never had a girls' lodge here.
No.
They call them the Blue, not the Blue Hornet.
True Blue?
Blue something. Several my wife belonged to. They all wore blues and skirts and so on, you know. Tied up nice on the top of the line. We had a hell of a time.
You did, eh?
Yeah. There's old Billy Adams, he's crazy as hell, lived in the back street with John Orange, but he went cuckoo after a while. Big part of people he did.
How much did you...
Many people were at the 12th of July, 1936. 50,000 people in Pop Rock. big crowd of people. What did they
like? How much dues did you have to pay? What
$2 a month.
$2 a month?
A year.
A year?
Yeah. $2 a year, but we all chipped in for wood and to keep the fires burning, and we made a little till the goddamned old preacher down here, the United Church minister, he got into it. And he was a dandy. He hated the Orangemen, he hated the Protestants, and he hated everybody but himself. He never hired nothing in this school. He was secretary, but old Blanche McMillan up there, and a bunch of them. There was a girl come from England, Sheila Ferguson. I went 2 years with all, and I was just talking about her. And that girl come over here, and the teacher didn't show up for the classroom that morning. She didn't show up, but she got another school, but she didn't notify her. So this girl just happened to come over to friends of hers that lived on the same street in Alexandria, North England. And she picked up the paper and the cover and the teacher one and just went and Wilson, treasurer, secretary, whatever the hell he is. She jumped in the little boat, dragging along, the paper come down higher.
I was putting them up the road that morning, this nice lady stopped me. Is this where Mr. Hines lives? I says, no, but you're that close. It's just the same distance, the other side of Cumberland. And there's stone house on the same side of the road, and he's there. So I talked a few minutes. That's the girl all told me this morning. That's the girl you should have married. 1960 I went with her. No, 58. I was 58, 59, 60, and 61. And I let her go through my fingers. She was a teacher, wasn't she, all? She was a nice girl. Blonde, too, curly head. You find the $2.
Listen, no, not yet. Here's Aston. I was talking to somebody the other day who told me about this bunch of holy rollers.
Yeah, well, I don't belong to
that. That used to operate up south of here somewhere. Well, what were they called? Hutterites? Hornerites or something?
Hornerites.
Hornerites.
Yeah. There's not a bunch of all that was a horny bird. I mean, what the hell do I call that? Witnesses.
Witnesses?
Yeah, there were a bunch of them in Rock. Oil place down there.
Yeah.
For all the land they can buy around, 100 acres.
Who ran this Hornerites group?
Or Ferguson.
Oh, was he involved in that?
Well, he was a brethren, but he was a Hornerite, and there's another bunch in with them, too.
Cecilites?
Something started up in Orleans now, and it's going like hell. A whole bunch of joined up to it. I don't know nothing about that.